Hi everyone, this is Ilea, and I am new to Worms World, so bear with me. Worms World is basically about learning about different information, and I'll be interviewing a lot of people. So I am going to do an interview today, introducing
Mr. Morgan, Director of the Counseling Services Center.
So Mr. Morgan, what are you expecting this year as far as, you know, keeping the students educated and also keeping them safe?
Well, I think Mr. Shepler and the administration have done a very good job of trying to keep the priority of safety first. Unfortunately, with that comes secondary is then the education. But we have to keep everybody healthy and well before we can worry about educating them. And so different things that Mrs. Brown, Mr. Dingman, and Mr. Shepler have done this year, from assigning seats in the cafeteria, which I know not a lot of people are a fan of, right? Yeah. But the goal of that, keeping kids safe so that we can do contact tracing, to directions in the hallway, just making sure people are staying on the right side, to spacing kids out in the different classrooms. If you walk by the classrooms, you can see that the desks are spread out a lot further. Some teachers have taken desks out of the room so they can spread out. Some teachers are just using desks as spacers to make sure kids are spread out, just to make sure that we are not, if somebody would happen to be sick, that we are not infecting anybody else in the class. So as far as expectations for this year, unfortunately, I think it's to expect safety first. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of we have to change our mindset a little bit on what that looks like. School safety used to take a whole different view in terms of, we thought that talked about intruders in the building or how to react to somebody pulling the fire alarm or something like that. And this year we're having to look at it more on like a micro level, just making sure that everybody's safe and healthy. And we're just making sure not only the students are healthy, but they're not taking something home to family that may be immunocompromised. And we want to make sure everybody in our communities staying healthy and well also.
Okay. As far as scheduling for next year, how do you think it's going to go? Is it going to be another part of this year or another, you know?
Oh, Leia, if I could predict the future. Honestly, right now, we're still working on schedules for this year. We still have students who are producing medical documentation showing that they cannot come to school and they were unable to get signed up for virtual before the deadline. And so we're still making those adjustments. The counselors and academic coaches are still working with those virtual kiddos on Indiana Online Academy classes, Apex classes, working with kids on how to access things on Canvas, because some Canvas is new to some kids, especially if they were not Warren students last year. So right now, to be honest with you, we haven't even started looking at next year. Right now we're a month behind where we normally are in the counseling office because of all the adjustments we've had to make due to COVID. What I think is going to happen is I think things are going to start slowing down. My guess is we're probably going to have to reevaluate where we're at as flu season comes around, come late fall, early winter, and to see if we're going to continue on a virtual schedule, a virtual model. Are we going to offer that to students? Or are we going to keep going with a hybrid in-person model? Or are we going to go strictly back in person full time? I don't foresee that happening. That has nothing to do with any meetings I've been a part of or not been a part of. That's just my own personal prediction. I think we're probably going to stick with hybrid and or virtual. I know that the hope is for students to not go strictly virtual. I know that, one, we want to make sure people are healthy, back to the point we talked about earlier. But two, I don't think anybody agrees that that's a really good model of education for a lot of our kids, especially with the social emotional health of kids. I mean, they need socialization. They need stability. It's normal, very normal in child development and in human development for people to want to be around people. And when I say that, I don't mean that family isn't considered people, but other people outside of the family, it's very normal to feel needed by those people, to feel wanted by those people, and surround yourself with friends as well as family. So there are a whole lot of things coming into the mix when we talk about scheduling for this year. If all goes as is going right now, I would anticipate that we will probably get over to the junior highs later in this semester to talk about their options for next semester. We would like to get all that done before going into next semester. for the incoming freshmen. We would like to talk about scheduling with our current freshmen, sophomores, and juniors starting in late January and going through spring break. I know that we're, as far as schedule for this year, we're still planning to offer the ACT. We're still planning to offer the SAT. We did that. We actually offered the ACT in July and went very well. We were kind of the guinea pig in Marion County on how well kids were going to do wearing their masks. And honestly, we had no problems. We had almost 300 kids show up to that test. We had five kids show up without a mask. We told them that the expectation was them for them to wear a mask. They never put up a fuss. We gave them a mask. They put it on. We never had to ask anybody again. So it went really well for that testing. So I think that kind of set the precedent that we're going to continue to offer that. That's kind of the only time this year that we're going to offer outside visitors, so to speak, to come into the building. We have to keep it really closely monitored. We did double our staff for that testing just to make sure everything was going according to CDC guidelines and the guidelines set forth by Warren Township. But it went really well. So I think everything as far as testing is concerned for college admissions tests, everything's going to be on track for this year.
Okay. Do you feel like students are, because some have to do all virtual, do you feel like it's a very hard time for students to keep up with their grades and get contact with teachers, because teachers also here have so much going on with their other students? How do you feel about virtual?
Okay, so I'm going to speak to this on a personal level. So I have two children myself. Mm-hmm. One is 11 and in the fifth grade, and one is almost 13 and she's in seventh grade. When they came home in March and started doing virtual, everything was cool for about 2 weeks. And then things started falling apart for my son. And both of my kids make all A's.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a little surprising to me that they were struggling. And it wasn't so much with the workload mm-hmm. as it was with being distracted at home, whether that's, for my kids, it wasn't video games, but it was just wanting to do something else, wanting to go outside, wanting to get out of the house because they're sick of those four walls. And so I think socially and emotionally, it is very challenging. I know that I had the option when I went back to get my master's degree to go strictly virtual, and I chose not to do that because I know I'm not self-disciplined enough to be a virtual student. Kudos to those kids who are. And there are people who are really good at it, and that's how they excel, and that's great. But I think for the most part, that is why a lot of kids will come down to the counseling office and say, hey, I'm not going to be back next year. I'm going virtual because of whatever issue, whether it be medical or social or whatever the case may be. They're not feeling school, whatever the case may be. They choose to go virtual. And then within months, they're back because it's not as easy as they think it's going to be. So I think it is very challenging. I know that our teachers and counselors and academic coaches and administrators too, top to bottom, I mean, our workload has increased, probably tripled, to be honest, with kids going virtual, because now we have to go and make those connections via email or via phone call to the parent and or to the student who may or may not be living with parent, because with COVID, I mean, so many people are unemployed, or so many people have had job situations change, and they're trying to make ends meet. And so before, mom may have been able to stay home and help with a virtual student, and mm-hmm. because of COVID and things changing, maybe now mom has to work a first shift job, and now they're at home by themselves during that time, and that's of nobody's fault. I mean, that's just people are doing the best they can. But with that, we're having to call numerous people, and those conversations are taking, you know, 20, 30 minutes apiece just to catch up with the kid. This is how you log on to Canvas. This is what you need to be looking at. This is how you proceed with Apex. This is who you email in this situation. And so it's a lot of communication. The communication to the teachers, I think we kind of took for granted, because we get to see you guys every day in class mm-hmm. or in the hallway. Hey, what's going on? This is what you need to do. Blah, blah. It takes 30 seconds because we can tell the kids know what's going on. Well, this whole virtual thing's new. And so the communication piece is the most challenging piece. I mean, I've talked to a few teachers. I talked to a math teacher the other day who I very much respect. He's been here a while. And he said, I'm working three times as hard this year than I've ever worked before. And he didn't say this, but I will say this on his behalf. Like, he's an awesome teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And so to hear him say that, and I think the biggest thing is are the teachers going to be able to maintain that pace? They're working their tails off to try to get kids to succeed and do what they need to do. And I know the kids, for the most part, are doing the same thing. It's different. It's hard. I think a lot of positives are going to come out of this, but I'm hoping people chose to go virtual because they truly were looking out for the betterment of their health mm-hmm. and or their family's health, and not just I can go work a 10-hour shift at wherever and then still go to school, because that wasn't the design behind it. And I think those kids are probably going to be in a little bit of trouble coming back with some credit deficiencies mm-hmm. or just grades maybe not where they want it to be. And I'm really hoping that's not the case, because that affects college admissions, that affects jobs, that affects things like that. So I'm hoping that people are taking this seriously in terms of why they chose virtual, and maybe evaluating that at the end of fall, beginning of winter, and saying maybe this is for me or maybe this isn't for me, and making those changes accordingly.
Okay. Another question. Do you feel like it was a good idea for the students who wants to do virtual but can also come in for some of their classes? Do you think that is better than, you know, just putting those classes to the side? Or
yeah, I think Mrs. Brown was kind of at the forefront of that, mm-hmm. and Dr. Rogers and Mr. McClatchy at the Career Center. And the goal of that was for those advanced kids, taking those really those truly college preparatory classes, making sure they still had access to those, or those Career Center classes where they could come in and they could still, whether that be earn a graduation pathway, so mm-hmm. they could still qualify for graduation, or get that skilled trade that they want to pursue with life after high school. I think that is key to the success of this model, is allowing for those kids to come and go for those specific classes. The downfall of that is we can't do, it's called synchronous learning. So normally if you're a virtual kid and you had first period English mm-hmm. during first period, so 7:15 to whatever, 8:05 when the bell rings, or 8:10 when the bell rings, whatever it is, you would have to sit in front of your computer if you were at home and participate in English first period, because that's what you had first period. Well, we can't do that, because we're allowing students to come and go to different classes. So we have to allow them some transit time. We have to allow them time to get to and from home if they're coming to the Career Center, or they're coming to one of our maybe accelerated classes. So that's the downfall of that, mm-hmm. that we have to allow for that, so it's not synchronous. The nice thing is it's a lot more flexibility for the kids. So maybe if they are helping younger siblings, because the younger siblings are doing synchronous learning, so they have to be in front of their computer from this time to this time. If they're helping younger siblings, then that still allows them for time to do their own work in addition to all the other responsibilities. So I love it that we were able to work out a plan where kids could come in for those needed classes, even if they chose virtual.
And you personally, how are you working with this whole pandemic? Far as being a counselor here, and far as outside of being a counselor?
As far as being a counselor, I think the key to this right now is communication. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything from the health department to upper administration to our administration here in the building to the department chairs to the teachers. I mean, it's just flow of communication. And the better we make that flow, the better this is going to go. And so I think that's echoed from the top to the bottom. I think, and things are changing so rapidly. So I think as they change, we just need to make sure we're on top of it and making sure everybody's on the same page. That has been my focus for this, and just making schedule changes as quickly as I can so that nobody's behind, whether that be the teachers or the students. Just making sure that everybody can be as caught up as possible, because it's hard to dig yourself a hole and then try to get out of it. Nobody wants to do that. And I know the counselors don't like to do that at all. So they want to get out and ahead of it. So that's been a real challenge. Personally, it's been hard because I've had a lot of 12-hour days here mm-hmm. at Warren Central, and but it's worth it. When I see kids like yourself, when I see kids around the building that with a smile on their face and things are going well, that's the reward that every educator works for. So that is in itself enough to tell us that what we're doing is right.
Okay. Well, that will be it for this interview. Thank you so much, Mr. Morgan.
Thank you, Leah.
And if you need to contact him or anything about scheduling, or if you feel like you're behind, just contact him at
bmorgan1, like the number one, bmorgan1 at warren.k12.in.us.
All right.
Thank you, Elia.
You're welcome.